In case you were not here last week or forgot, I do have these monthly reading in the back corner of the table. It is not a read a Bible in a full year like we know, most people have. We have to read bunches of chapters every day. This is just a verse or two that you read for this month. And for this month, it is New Beginnings. And what I am doing is I'm basing my lessons off of these scriptures this year. So it's going to be a long series, and it's going to be based on these sheets. And again, if you want some there, or want one or two, whatever, they're on that back table. And if we need more, I can print off more like I did this morning. I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot in my lessons and my preparation, not only in the scriptures, but also things in history. And I try to share those with you when I can. And this morning, I want to share with you something I learned in trying to do this lesson. In ancient Roman religion and myth is the name of the god, lowercase g, of course, this is a Roman god, Janus. The meaning of Janus in Latin is arched passageway or doorway. Janus is depicted here in these seven sculptures. And as you can see, none of them are the same. Janus is the god of beginnings, of gates, transitions, time, duality, doorways, which I didn't know you had to have a god for doorways, but passages, frames, and endings. So this Roman god had a lot that, you know, had to take care of. He, which they depicted as a he, but in this one up here you see kind of the orange, it looks more like a woman. But he is usually depicted as having two faces. And I read this article on Wikipedia about Janus, and nowhere in there did it state why he's depicted as having two faces. But Janus presided over the beginning and endings of conflict and hence war and peace. So that's the only thing I can think of was beginning and endings. It was the reason they had two faces. And if you look at some of them, like the top left and then in the middle on the bottom, it's a younger face and an older face. So maybe that was the beginning and ending. But then some of them, they have the same face, like in the bottom left, the exact same faces. But that's how they depicted it. Now, from Janus derived Inua, which means door. And hence the English word janitor. Learn something new. However, the Greek word genesis, which means a new beginning or rebirth in Greek, may be the true origin of the name Janus, which is Genesis. The month of January is named for Janus as Januarius. And that's what got me on this, was because I was just trying to figure out how January got its name, and it led me to all of this. So it was originally Januarius. So that brings me to the first scripture for this morning. Genesis, since that was mentioned, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. No doubt there, what happened, who was involved. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right there, that one sentence, that one verse, destroys the Big Bang Theory, which a lot of scientists are doing away with it because science disproved the Big Bang Theory, okay? But there's the other theory of evolution, to where this slimy little one-cell amoeba climbed up out of the, you know, slimy swamp and became all living things as we know it today. No. In the beginning, God created. A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. The first few verses I've come up with on my own, but a lot of the verses are going to come off of this sheet, the first, I think, nine verses on this sheet. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It doesn't matter what we face, what happens to us, or what we do. God's anger is but for a moment, but God's favor is for life. We might weep all night over our sickness, our troubles, our heartaches. But we know one thing, that no matter what, joy will come in the morning. I want you to remember this verse this year when you face struggles and hard times. We're all going to face them at one point or another. And it might be a hard struggle or it might be just a light struggle. But we will all face struggles. And I want us to remember this verse. We are studying a book on Wednesday night titled Making Things Right When Things Go Wrong. And in the chapter that we're in right now is dealing with today. Not letting the past, the things that we have done in the past, things that have happened to us in the past, affect today or tomorrow. And it's hard for us to do that sometimes, but that's what we need to do. We need to focus on today, not worry about tomorrow, because there's not one thing that we could do today to change one thing, 1 minute or 1 second of yesterday. We need to focus on today. We need to focus on making our things right in our life when they go wrong. I can guarantee that things are going to go wrong in your life. Maybe this year. It doesn't matter how bad things get. God has promised us that joy will come in the morning if we will let it. Flip 10 Psalms ahead to chapter 40, and we read in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. We are going to have bad days. When everything seems to go wrong, all we have to do is look up towards God. He is waiting patiently for us. God heard your cry. He will bring you up from what that horrible pit that you are in. He will bring you out of the mire of clay and set your feet firmly upon Jesus. He will let you get your feet, your stable feet back under you before letting go. You can sing praises to God and bring you out of the pit of sorrows. In Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you know or remember the song, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Therefore, I will hope in Him. This is a song I had in one of my youth song books. And I've been involved with youth for several years and collected a lot of the songs that unfortunately we don't sing anymore. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have youth rallies like we used to where we sang all these songs. I just hope they don't get lost. The mercies of God are never consumed because His compassions never fail. In this chapter in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is taken to a high mountain. And from there, God gives Ezekiel visions of what the new temple. Beginning of the year, which is where we are at, on the 10th day of the month, today is on the 14th, but in the 14th year, after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He took me there. We have the opportunity to stand here this morning, or you could drive up on Mount Spokane now that the trees have been cleared from the windstorm, and you could go up there if you want to dare the cold, and you can look and stare out over the countryside and think of what this new year is going to bring. you might not know, you know, and you can stand there and pray to God about it. Yeah, maybe you're going to accomplish this or that. Maybe you're going to accomplish something that you didn't do last year that you had planned on doing. Well, maybe this is going to be the year that you're going to accomplish it. You know, we can, there's nothing wrong in us looking forward and making plans of what we want to do. But we always need to remember what we read in James, you know, don't make plans, you know, to do this and go into this city and do that, because we're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. We're not promised, you know, tonight. So we need to be thankful for God in what it is that we want to do. I only hope and pray that God is in those plans. We can't just think of ourselves. We must include God and our Christian family in our plans for this year. In Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, the Israelites have been enslaved by Babylon for the last 70 years. God is letting them know that they will be freed. Verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, and because you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Remember, we studied in Daniel 9 when Daniel prophesied about these 70 years that they were going to be imprisoned, that they were going to be slaves in Babylon. And of course, it came true. But here in Jeremiah, God is telling the Israelites that when they have completed their 70 years, that he is going to restore them back to their promised land. God is going to give them thoughts of peace, not of evil. He is going to give them a future of hope. Then they can call upon God and pray to God, and he will listen to them. We need to have thoughts of peace and hope as we go through this year. We need to call on God and pray to God, and he will also listen to us. I think too many times we think that God is not listening to us when we pray, but he always hears us. We need to understand that God hears our prayers, and he listens to us when we pray. We need to continually pray to God through this new year. Continuing on in verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." We need to actively seek God. We read last week that if we seek, we will find. If we ask, it will be given to us. And if we knock, the door will be opened. We will find God if we only seek him. We ignore God, and he will ignore us. Notice Jeremiah states that we must seek after God with all of our heart. We must be totally 100% in our sincerity of seeking God with all of our heart. In 1 John 2, verses 6 through 8, we see in these verses how we must include God in our plans. Starting in verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as Jesus walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." We can't let the darkness of Satan and the devil get inside of you this year. We talked about that in class this morning, about how if we reject the devil, he will flee from us. We need to have this wall of Christianity in, you know, around us, so the devil can't get to us. We must strive to keep him out to the best of our ability. We need to walk the straight and narrow for Jesus. The idea isn't something new to us as Christians. We as Christians are all familiar with this new commandment that is in all of us. The true light of Jesus should be shining all the time. We need to let our light shine as Jesus told us in his Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine, don't hide it under a bushel. Then if we go to 2 John verses 4 through 6, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, and we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. That is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We must love one another. And I know sometimes that might be hard to do. We will talk more about this next month when our series goes to love because of February. That is what we must now not only do, but we have to love one another, but we must walk in the love of Jesus. This love, this commandment, is nothing new. We see and read throughout the New Testament that this is how we must live our life and how we must live our life this year in 2024. We must walk in the love of Jesus. I want to end this morning with scriptures coming from the book of Isaiah. We should all be familiar with this saying, and I see it all the time on plaques. But those who wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40 verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Waiting is not an attitude that we all have. Some have no patience when it comes to waiting on anything. But Isaiah is telling us that we must wait on God. He runs on his own time, not ours. What are we waiting for? We're waiting on Christ to return. We don't know when that is. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be this year. It might not be in our lifetime. But we must wait patiently. Isaiah tells us that our strength will renew if we wait on God. If we do, we will mount up on wings like eagles. We will soar through life. I don't know about you, but I love seeing bald eagles. And during this time of the year, when the snow comes, they come down from Canada, from up north, and we see a lot more of them. I'm hoping that this year we can go over to Coeur d'Alene over on the other side of the lake and see them where they come to roost on the lake. It's a gorgeous sight to see them, especially when they're sweeping down and getting fish out of the lake. If you haven't ever done that, you need to make plans to do it. By waiting on the Lord, you will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. In other words, you need to be patient and wait on God. In Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, do not remember the former things. And we just talked about that. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road to the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In our Wednesday night class, we are in the chapter of the book dealing with not letting the past affect your present or your future. We can't let our past drag us down. We need to leave the past in the past and live for today. We need to live today to its fullest. We cannot let our past or what we think our future holds drag us down today. We need to live each day as if it will be our last, because it might be. And then in Isaiah 58, 9 through 12, we're going to end this morning with these verses. Starting in verse 9, listen carefully to what Isaiah has to say. This is another one of those if-then statements that I've talked about before. We see that in computer programming. If this event occurs, then do this. If then. And we see this here. in verses 9 and 10, Isaiah is going to give us an if statement. And about the middle, in those last two lines, he's going to start with the then portion of it. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from my midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, I'm sorry, that's the same one we just read. Okay, mine didn't advance, I'm sorry. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail. It doesn't matter what happens to you this year, good or bad, God is with you. God will guide you when all things are lost. God will strengthen you when you are weak. God will watch over you when you need him the most. Going on in verse 12, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. You cannot sit in your easy chair and take the day off from God. You must be active in the church. You must be a worker for the Lord. You will be a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the streets to dwell in. You must do the Lord's work and the Lord's will. This is a new year. This is the beginning of a new year. Let's all get started, shall we? This is the beginning. What are you going to do? How are you going to be this year? What kind of a Christian are you going to be? Are you going to be on fire for God? Are you going to talk to others about God and share his word? Are you going to spread his word like we know we're supposed to be doing? Or are you just going to take a year off and not do anything? That's not what God wants. God wants us to be active in his word. He wants us to read. He wants us to pray. And that right there should give you the energy to share his word, to talk to others, to do things for God. And I hope as we go through these next lesson or two about our new beginnings, that it will help you to get you fired. Not fired, but to build you up. Okay. I don't know if you've ever been to Ladies Day or Men's Day or a youth rally or any kind of church-related function. I have. And the thing about it that's great is you always get fired up for God. You always want to come back and you want to do things, but you come back to a congregation that didn't go, and they're like, why are you all excited? Why are you wanting to do all these things? Why are you wanting to, you know, get us to doing things? And it's because we're fired up, and that's how we need to be. You know, we should be looking forward to doing God's will this year, you know, and plan and make things to do that. And if there's any way that we can help you this morning in your Christian walk, let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us build you up. Let us light your fire. Or if you haven't put God on, you know, Christ on in baptism, the baptistry is ready and we can take care of that sin problem as well. Please let your wishes be known as together we stand in sin.